our gracious and holy God. We bow before you, Lord, this afternoon, worshipping thee, the one true and holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And Heavenly Father, as we bow before thee, we pray for the help and for the blessing of God upon this service of remembrance today. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son into the world to die for sinners such as us. We bless thee for the redemption that is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, Lord, we pray over that great truth of Scripture, that where two or three are gathered in thy name, thou art there in the midst of them. We take time to be still and to know that thou art God, that this life, Lord, is not all there is, but there is an eternity. And O God, we pray that thou wilt be pleased to give the hush of eternity upon our gathering here this afternoon. Be with us, we pray. Bless the family. Comfort them today. Do them good, Lord, and encourage them at this time of loss. And Father, we want to give you thanks. Thank you, Lord, for saving the soul of our brother Jack McKee. Thank you, Lord, he is a child of God. Thank you, Lord, you washed him in your blood. He's a man who stands in heaven rejoicing with thee there. Lord, for those who remain in the family, it is difficult. We pray thy grace will be sufficient in this hour of their need. Be with us now. Grant us help. In Jesus' name we pray, and for thy glory. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Let me just make a few announcements as we commence this service. If there's a window beside you and you feel very warm, feel free just to open that window a little bit to let some air in. Maybe if the heating is on, we can maybe turn that off if need be. That's great. Thank you very much. Also, if you have a mobile phone today, please could you just check to make sure that's turned off. It will be much appreciated. Regarding toilet facilities, in the vestibule on the way in, there are toilets there. The very back of the hall, for all here in the hall, you'll find them at the rear. Can I, on behalf of the family, thank you all for being here today. I think it's obvious from the good number how well respected Jack McKee was in all walks of life. He was a man of God. Immediately after the service here, will be the committal in Larne Cemetery, and the family would like to welcome all of you who don't wish to go to the grave to stay here for refreshments, and for those who do go to the grave, you are warmly invited to return for refreshments, and they will be served in the hall just behind me here. I want to just commence today by expressing a personal word of sympathy. No doubt I speak on behalf of the whole congregation here to Joan, a beloved wife of our brother Jack, to his family, his son Calvin, his wife Michelle, and his family, their family, Rachel, Carlin, and Michael, and then to his daughter Leah and her husband Glenn, and to their family, Andrew, Carly, and Emily, and then to Jack's remaining siblings, Iris, Bobby, Lewis, and Janice. And we pray that God will comfort you all at this time of loss and the wider family circle represented here today. We know that it is certainly absent from us, but we are confident, and I mean this, confident, that it is present with the Lord for Jack McKee. I want now just to bring a brief word of tribute to Jack, and then we will sing the first order, the first hymn or order of service, and following that we want to consider a passage from God's word. First of all then, just a word of tribute to our brother. At about 1:30 last Wednesday, I went to Antrim Area Hospital. and found there Jack McKee. He was unwell. Obviously, he was taken into hospital. And we spoke together for half an hour or so. I read the scriptures and prayed. And then we had just a few remarks and we shook hands and we laughed together. I said, Jack, hopefully we'll see you back at church very soon. And almost to the very hour, here we are, 7 days later, this funeral service. And neither Jack nor I, last Wednesday, even considered that this would be the case. Alderman John, known best as Jack, and I'll hereafter refer to him as that. Jack McKee was born on the 4th of September, lived in Queen Street, then Upper Waterloo Road. He spent much of his working days as a milling machinist, and he owned the vegetable business as well for approximately 10 years. I know that Jack was a bit of a character in his early days. He often recollected events with me of his younger days and antics that he ever got up to. There's many I can mention, I'll mention three. As a young man, he was a stowaway on a boat to Liverpool, and he lived there for a very brief time. On one occasion, the police lifted him as a young man, and they put him into the back seat of the police car. I think it was the driver's side in the back seat. And Jack shuffled over, opened the door, and ran out the other side. And that obviously caused a bit of rubbish. He also mentioned once that both him and his brother, a more serious event, him and his brother went down to the harbour, and his brother fell in between the quay and the boat, fell into the water, and in the process, I believe he knocked himself out. And Jack, with brotherly love, jumped in and was able to get the hold of him with his legs and held them up until more help came to rescue that brother. Jack's early days were filled with heroics and they were filled with mischief. But many of those events he deeply regretted. I'm thinking on the drinking, the violence, the sin. And he stood in this pulpit. I was here, I was just sitting just in the pulpit and the pew behind me here. And he stood here and he testified that it would have been much better if he had been saved as a young man. He certainly had those early days full of mischief. But as I said 3 years ago, he stood here as a man in his late 60s, testifying the grace of God in his life. And it begs the question, what happened in between? From those early days to those later days. I'll tell you what happened. Approximately, and these dates are, they are approximately, maybe John can correct me if I'm wrong later on, but 1965, about the age of 22, Jack McKee learnt about the grace of God and how God could cleanse a man from all his sins. And how he could be right with God. It all began by meeting Joan. She was training to be a teacher. She was training in Stranmillis. And they entered into a relationship. And Jack said that on one occasion, Joan's grandfather had some stern words with the two of them. He saw this relationship flourishing and he wasn't so happy about it. He spoke to them both and afterwards, Joan's grandfather went to his wife and said, "Dear, there's maybe not much we can do about this, so we'll pray." And that godly man and his wife prayed for Jack. Later on, Joan took Jack to a gospel mission. Sam Workman was the evangelist that night. He preached the word, and afterwards they closed with a hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins." And those words intrigued Jack immensely. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and he couldn't understand what this language was all about. They testified that in that meeting the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord enabled him to understand that that fountain filled with blood was a reference to none other than Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross, shed his blood that he would save sinners, that he would forgive sin, that he would wash people from their sin. And Jack got it. He got it. And that night, Jack McKee looked to Jesus Christ, trusted in him for salvation, and God did cleanse him, and God did give him a new heart. That didn't make Jack McKee perfect. Doesn't make any of us perfect. But it made him different. For from that day on, till the day he died, and I can testify to this, he was continually growing in grace and becoming more like Jesus Christ. God touched him. God changed him. Praise the Lord. Jack encountered the grace of God, and that changed him. He had a new heart. He loved the Lord, and he loved his fellow men. Jack did many outstanding things in his adult life. Elected as a counselor in 1973. Served most of those years under the DUP and of late under the TUV, right up to March of this year. Alderman, Mayor, Member of Parliament Assembly, the Psalm representative, at his own expense, set up an advice centre which served the community. He would often, I'm told, have been found after doing night shifts, accompanying people to meetings, to appeals, to tribunals. Then, of course, most recently in March of this year, and I was privileged to be there, he was awarded the freedom of the borough on March of this year. I want to read you a verse just in the middle of this tribute because I feel this verse so aptly sums up what God made Jack McKee into. It's Matthew the chapter 22 and the verse 37. Here's what the Lord says. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that summarizes Jack McKee. He loved the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. And he loved his neighbor. That's why he put so much work into the community here. God did a tremendous work in the life of Jack McKee. My first encounter with Jack was just in the prayer room down on my left-hand side there. It was before a service in this church in 2011, just before I was a minister here. And Jack began to pray. And I remember it because he prayed powerfully. He prayed that God would bless the preaching of the word. He prayed that God would bless the man who stood in the pulpit. And he was still praying that same prayer up until about 3 weeks ago, when he just wasn't able to get to God's house. And as a minister here, I'll deeply miss that. He was a man who knew the Lord. A man who knew what it was to genuinely labor in prayer. There were times I thought when Jack was praying, when he was unwell, he prayed for all he was worth in that room at the back or our Wednesday night prayer meeting. And there was times I shuffled over towards him because I thought he wasn't going to make it. I just hadn't the physical ability, but he prayed with all his strength. He prayed with all his might. He was a gift to the church here. Jack was instrumental in the formation of this church. This church was born out of protest, so you'd expect Jack McKee to be in the middle of it. It was a protest about ecumenism, and God blessed and God saved souls, and we rejoice in that. So from the very inception of this church, Jack was involved. And right to his very final days, he was still involved. He was a very much respected committee man here. Jack's Bible And we Paget the sweet still sits down there, second row in the back on my left hand side. You didn't have to know Jack for too long before it was very clear what his favourite colour was: red. In all my time of knowing Jack, he had the red car and he always had some item of red clothing on. There was one, I think it was a Sunday morning, and he came into church, and I just noticed he had no red tie, no red jacket or anything. This is maybe just about less than a year ago. And I said to Jack, "Jack, you've no red clothing on today." And he looked down as if he was bewildered for a second. And then he pointed at the wee red badge on they always had. So I never saw Jack without some item of red clothing on. What Jack was in public, he was at home. Jack was down to earth. I think that's part of the reason why he was so well respected. He was just really down to earth. He had plenty of time for people round about. He also had plenty of time for his family. He dearly loved his wife, his children, and his grandchildren. He did whatever he could for everybody in his life. Just coming near the end, Jack was quite distressed in hospital, and on Saturday morning he wanted to speak to his family. They had went home just to refresh themselves briefly, and he wanted them all back again. And as soon as he saw his family, his first words were, "Joan, I love you. Calvin, I love you. Leah, I love you." And with that, he just settled down and told. He was concerned. He wanted his family just to know of his genuine love for them. He knew his time was coming to the end. And when I arrived on Saturday, it was, I think it was before 12. But when I arrived anyway, we pulled the blue curtains back and we walked in. And Jack's first words to me were, "Brother, I might see Jesus today. I might see Jesus today." Within 20 hours, he did. And he's with the Lord now. He's in the presence of the one who died to save him from all his sins. I have no doubt. I have no doubt. As a man who spoke with Jack and prayed with him and spent time with him, I have no doubt we're burying a man whose soul is with God. With the Lord. I have no doubt whatsoever. And the Apostle Paul tells us in the Bible, that is far better. That is far better. You'll allow me, just as I close this word of tribute before we proceed, just to read a few verses of a hymn that Jack loved. Anytime we asked for favorites from the pulpit, let's say we have special meetings, whether it's harvest or whatever the case may be, we would sometimes have a time of favourites, and as soon as I said the word favourite, all I could hear bellowing around the church was, "100, 100. That was his favourite hymn. Let me read it to you. It's a powerful hymn. Not read it all, just some of it. If you have a hymn book in front of you, you can look and see for yourself. Hymn 100. "O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head? Our load was laid on thee." That's talk about our sins been laid on Christ. "Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me." That's speaking of Christ's substitution. He took Jack McKee's place. He took the burden of Jack's sin. He took the punishment. That's why he loved it. The hymn goes on to say, "A victim led, thy blood was shed. Now there's no load for me. Death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for thee. But thou hast drank the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me." That bitter cup, love drank it up. Now blessings dropped for me. And what that means is Christ bore the burden. And now there's no burden for Jack McKee to bear. He's enjoying. He's enjoying the Lord. Perhaps we can take your order of service. We'll stand together. And we'll sing the first hymn there. "The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. A royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow." We'll sing this to the tune of St. Magnus. Let's all stand together, please.
The head that once was crowned with thought is crowned with glory.
To just read a few verses of scripture and comment on them right now. Just a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I preached on this very verse in this house. And again, I certainly did not have in mind coming to your brother Jack's funeral and preaching from this same passage. Perhaps only a minister knows the wrestling that goes on to pick the right text, and I firmly believe this is where the Lord would have us to dwell for a moment or two this afternoon. It's Genesis 49. If you have your Bibles, you may turn to that, Genesis 49, and I'll read from the verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them, and bless them, every one according to his blessing, he blessed them. And he charged them, and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers. In verse 33, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the band, and yielded up the ghost, and was gathered unto his people. Perhaps you can bow with me briefly in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father and gracious God, thou art light, and thy word is light. It is given to instruct us, and we pray, Lord, the Holy Ghost will accompany the consideration, the preaching of this word today. Lord, we take even the words that were often prayed in the prayer room by Jack here. O God, bless the preaching of thy word. May it come forth with power and give help now for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Here we have in this passage which I've read with you, an old man by the name of Jacob. He's a well-known character in Scripture, but he's not the twister that he's so often made out to be. He's often called Jacob the Twister, but I don't believe that's entirely fair, because before he was born, God said to his mother that he would be the replacer. He would be the one who would replace his brother Esau, and whoever was unworthy of God's blessing, God ordained Jacob to be there. So when someone fell into sin or whatever, and they forfeited blessing, God had Jacob there to receive the blessing instead of the one who was not worthy. Jacob never took anything that God did not give to him. Jacob was a godly man. And in our text here, as a godly man, he's going the way of all flesh. Jacob's dying. And he's got his family around him here, and he tells them such that he's going, he's passing on, he wants to be buried with his fathers, he gathers his feet into the bed, and he goes to be with the Lord. There's a very significant little thought here just before we get into the sermon. It is this, that the book of Genesis begins with what? God creating. God speaking, and there was life. And here we have the end of Genesis. Indeed, you come to the very last verse in Genesis, and what do you have? You have death. Because you had God creating all things good, you have death at the end, because that was the penalty for man's sin. We all sin, Scripture says, therefore we all die. But as we come to this deathbed scene today, what I want you to see is a man who finished well. And this is why I believe it's so appropriate today. For Jack finished well, as did Jacob in the text we have before us. Three things. Firstly, this man had a good testimony and a good relationship with his family. This man, Jacob, had a good testimony and a good relationship with his family. Old Jacob here is 147 years of age. That's what the Bible says, 147 years of age. And he had the wonderful privilege in that day of dying in his own bed. That was a privilege. But that's not always possible. Sometimes we're rushed into hospital for the medical professionals to do their best, and rightly so. When God gives the Ten Commands there, you'll know what number 6 was, thou shalt not kill. And the logical conclusion to that command, thou shalt not kill, the logical conclusion to that is that life is precious. And if life is precious, we should go as far as possible to preserve life. And that's what happened with the medical staff. They did the best they could for Jack McKee. And around this old man's bed, around this old man's bed was his family. And I'm sure that's the way any dying man or woman would want it to be. Your family with you. And I think in Jack, also with that privilege, family around the bed, those final days. That's a blessing. I think the family should always be commended for spending that time with their father, with their husband, the grandfather, and so on. He had a wife there coming to the final night. He had a wife who did not leave the bedside. He had a son and daughter who were with him and were with him while he took his final breaths here on earth. Let me tell you, Jack McKee finished well. For Jacob died with a good testimony and a good relationship with his family. So did Jack McKee. He died with a good testimony. He died with the love of his family. The second thing, this man Jacob was crossing the finish line to receive a good prize. When Jacob died again, he was leaving the body to be with the Lord. You know, we live in a strange age. Oh, we live in a day where we try to sanitize death. We try to avoid all reference to death even. That's a strange thing for the believer. Let me tell you why. I'll illustrate it this way. If you have an athlete, and an athlete runs the race, and they cross the finish line,
The athlete will expect, if he crosses, he wins, he's first, he will expect the crowd to cheer. It would be a strange thing if he crossed the finish line and everybody ignored the fact that he'd crossed the finish line. Everybody talked about the race and how he started and how he ran. And there was no celebration of the win. There was no prize. There was no medal. There was no acknowledgement, no celebration. The athlete would find that very, very strange. And so it is with the believer. We run the race in this life and we cross the finish line when we die. Here's what the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 7:1. Better is the day. Better is the day of one's death than the day of one's birth. That's what the scripture says. Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint's precious. You see, death for the believer isn't something to be feared. It isn't something to be shunned. It isn't something to be avoided. It's something to be shared. Something to be shared, even celebrated. It's something to share and celebrate with your family. Jack had that, of course, the family around him. As he slipped away, they were there. And when the body grows weary, and when the body is tired, you desire rest, you're desiring to leave this world full of pain and so many woes, and you cross the finish line, you're leaving all in order, men and women, for the believer. That's better than the day of one's birth. For on the day of your birth, you haven't accomplished anything. You're into the world, it's all ahead of you. Don't me die. Go to meet the Lord and receive the prize. Thirdly, then, this man was prepared for death. I want to pause with this. This man was prepared for death. Again, I'll read with you verse 33, and if you have your Bibles, you can look at it there. Genesis 49, verse 33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons in regards to burial and so on, he gathered up, here's Jacob now, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. If you have studied the life or even been under the preaching about Jacob, you will know that Jacob was a wrestler. From the very time he was conceived in the womb, we read there that the mother felt there was the wrestling in her womb, so much so that she went to ask God, why is this wrestling? And God says, because there's two nations within your womb. Then when he was born, he was a man who wrestled with other men. He wrestled with Esau. He wrestled with Laban. But most significantly, the Bible says he wrestled with God. He was a man who labored with God in prayer. And Jacob prevailed and received the blessings. Then you come to his deathbed. And I read verse 33 with you. Let me read it again and tell me, do you hear any wrestling here? And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost. There's no wrestling. There's pure tranquility. There's absolute peace. Why is that? Because he was composed. Because he was content. This man had done his wrestling. He was prepared. He was ready to go. And so his deathbed was full of tranquility and peacefulness as he left this world to go and be with his Lord. A very important point here, men and women. We don't leave our preparation for death until the deathbed. You don't leave until the deathbed. The preparation must be done when you're healthy and well. And again, does Jack McKee not exemplify that wonderfully? Listen, Jack McKee was saved before I was even born. He knew God. His wrestling was over. He was right with the Lord. The scripture says, prepare to meet thy God. That's God's word. It's a warning. It's a message before the problem comes. You prepare to meet God now. Because when the day of death comes and you're standing before the Lord, it's too late. The Lord is forewarning you. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. Prepare to meet thy God. The time to stand before God dwells very near for each and every one of us. And so I must ask everyone here tonight, and I know Jack, if Jack could speak, he'd be asking it himself here. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are your sins forgiven? Are you redeemed? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? If this was your funeral today, where would you be? Honestly, where would you be today? I know where Jack is. Where would you be? That's in regards to your own soul. But the scripture also says, not only prepare to meet thy God, the Lord said to another man, put thine house in order. King Hezekiah, put thine house in order. And I must therefore challenge you about that today. What about your house? Is all things in order? Let me address fathers first and foremost. Is your house in order? Because salvation isn't just about you. What about your family? What about your wife? What about your children? Have they watched a father through whom they see something of God? A father who prays for them, a father who knows God, and a father who would do anything to see his children redeemed with them and ready for the life hereafter. Is all things in order, ladies? Can I ask you as well, your soul, are you ready to stand before God? If you were to leave your husband today, if you were to leave your family today, would your husband, would your family, would your minister know where you are? Could he stand before the remains and say with confidence where you were? What about your house? Is all things in order? What about the children that you bore in your very own womb and brought them into the world? Are they right with God? Are you praying for them? Are you saved? If you were to die today, men and women, would you see the Lord? Or would you see the depths and the awfulness of God's hell and remain there forevermore? This is so, so serious. So, so serious. And death is such a vivid reminder to us that we are not here forever. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. And the one that Jack McKee trusted in is the only one to deliver you. Don't leave this to your deathbed. Because let me tell you, if you leave this to your deathbed, you'll not sort it out. And you know that. You know in your final breaths, you will not sort this out with God. At best, what you probably will do is panic. You'll panic. You'll think of all the preaching you heard before and maybe verses and hymns you know, and you'll panic. You'll think to yourself, I need to get right with God, and you'll pray, and you'll pray out of panic. But God does not say that's what saves. It's not the prayer of panic that saves, it's the prayer of faith. The scripture doesn't say that those who panic will be saved. The Bible says that those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who call upon him for forgiveness, those who get right with God, those who live for God, those who are redeemed and adopted into the family of God, they are those who will be saved and enter into heaven forevermore. Do you know one thing that struck me? I suppose it was really on Sunday. We were standing in the pulpit and even announcing the passing of Jack McKee. That day, something struck me. There was no wrestling with Jack. He wasn't wrestling. Now listen, he had physical illness that he had to wrestle. I don't mean that. I mean in regards to his soul. He had perfect peace with God. Listen, the reality is, Jack McKee didn't need me. He didn't need me in the hospital bed. He had the physical comfort of his family. And when I came and I read with him the scriptures about the love of God and salvation, all of those things, Jackie nodded yes and said amen as he could. And there was just no wrestling because he'd made his peace with God. He said that himself. He knew he was right. That's why he said to me on Saturday, I'm going to see Jesus today. He knew it. The wrestling was done before I was born. He was saved. Jack McKee. finished well. Jacob finished well. And both Jacob and Jack McKee, well, this we're going to close, they're both in glory right now. And they're perfectly satisfied, and their minds are transfixed on the glory of God. Listen, the body's here. But his personality, Jack's conscious awareness, his soul, his life, the living part of Jack McKee is transfixed and enjoying the entertainment of heaven. And I say the entertainment of heaven for a specific reason. You see, we're all very familiar with what entertainment is. Entertainment's big business today. The world pursues and wants entertainment. We spend time on the TV, on the internet, here, there, and everywhere, seeking entertainment. And so it's something we want. And that's why I describe what they're enjoying as entertainment in heaven, for they are perfectly entertained. And when you're watching or doing something which really entertains you, you're not really worried about everything else. You're just enjoying that entertainment. You're enjoying what it is you're doing or watching, whatever the case may be. So it is with Jacob. So it is with Jack. Perfectly satisfied. I preached to Jack many times about God, about theology, about the glories of him who sits there in heaven. He sees him. He's with him. He knows more about God and theology than I'll ever know this side of the grave. So then, in conclusion, in the light of what we've just said, would you finish well? Would your family want to be with you? Would you be passing the finish line to receive the good and eternal prize? Would you be prepared? Or would you just be panicking? Can I just say, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that will prepare you for this. Nothing else but the gospel and the salvation of Jesus Christ will prepare you for the day you die. And therefore, I'm glad to present Jesus Christ to you. I'm glad to say Jesus Christ saved Jack McKee. This man was prepared. Are you prepared? Please take your order of service. Thank you for your attention and listening so well. I'm going to sing the final hymn on your order of service, Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus. We're going to sing it to the tune of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Then please remain standing after we sing the hymn, and we will then proceed to the funeral cortege of Jack McKee. So please remain standing afterwards. Again, the committal will be at Larne Cemetery, and all those who remain and those who go to the cemetery are welcome to come for refreshments. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Let's all stand together, please.
Underneath me are around.
prayer, please. Oh God, we're thankful for this love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, that life, eternal life, is offered on to all here today. Thank you, Lord, that Jack McKee's already gone before us. He's enjoying it. Thank you, Lord, for Jack's life. Thank you, Lord, for everything he did in his life. Thank you, Lord, for the family he raised. Thank you, Lord, for the time and the effort he ploughed into his family life. Thank you, Lord, for the time and the effort he ploughed into the work of the house of God here. Thank you, Lord, for the time and effort he ploughed into the community round about. God, we thank you for men, specifically for a man like Jack McKee, who you gave to this town, to this church, and to this family. Lord, we pray that, Father, you will comfort this church and this community and this family, as we must accept that life comes to an end for all. And we pray, Lord, that even the remembrance of this man will be a sermon to us all and lead us even to Christ. Bless all that's done today. Be with all who go to the graveyard. Bless the refreshments that are provided. And do us good now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.